It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 894 for the 9th of August, 2024. This week, as our computers become repositories for ever increasing number of files, sometimes it's hard to find the one we're looking for, even if we try to keep them organized. The free version of Agent Ransack can save the day. In short circuits, although the risk of being victimized by a SIM swap scam is small, damage done by such an attack would be enormous. There's a quick, easy way to eliminate the danger. And have you tried using side tabs in the web browser on your computer? Some browsers have that functionality built in, and if not, there are extensions for those that don't. If you've ever tried to find a file that you're certain is on the computer, but you don't remember where you put it, you could use a little help from Agent Ransack. The agent works for free and can quickly tell you where a file is if you can just describe it. Maybe you're careful about naming and organizing files, but you'll doubtless have trouble sometime finding one file that you need. The Windows search function is available on the taskbar unless you've hidden the icon, as I have. The File Explorer also has a search function, but it looks only at file names unless you've changed the indexing options. Agent Ransack finds the file without the added overhead of drive indexing. As even home users maintain terabytes of data and hundreds of thousands of files, if not millions, finding one specific file can be difficult. Agent Ransack just needs a few clues, but the more specific you can be, the better. Because there is no index, Agent Ransack has to examine every file unless you tell it which ones to ignore. Providing a partial file name is helpful, and you'll speed the process if you can tell it the drive letters and directories where you believe the file is. A date range for when the file was created or modified will be helpful. And if you're sure that the file will be one of several possible file types, that will speed the process immensely. If you tell Agent Ransack the file you're looking for is a PDF, doc, or docx file, then it can skip all other file types. I have an amateur radio license, November 8 Papa Oscar Victor, N8POV, from the Federal Communications Commission, and an amateur radio license plate from the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles. When renewing the plate, I am required to provide a copy of the license. A PDF copy of that file is available from the FCC. Having obtained a copy last year, I knew it was on the computer somewhere, but where? So I told Agent Ransack to look only at PDF documents and to find one that contained the characters N8POV. The file could be on any drive except the boot drive, so that meant D, E, F, G, H, and I. Now, in fact, that is a really bad way to go about a search, and it took about 15 minutes. That's because I have a lot of PDF documents, and some of them are huge, including full-text versions from several decades of a few magazines. The search examined almost 30 terabytes of data in 2.9 million files. With a search that poorly constructed, I could have gone to the FCC's website, found my license, and downloaded a new copy. But it found 7 files, including some service records for the car, which is linked to my license plate number, and the license renewal from last year. But I was fairly certain that I would have put N8POV somewhere in the file name, and it would be either on drive D, where I keep finance-related data, or on drive G, where I keep downloaded files that haven't been moved to some other location. So I changed the search to look just for file names containing the call sign on drives D and G. I didn't specify the file extension because I thought it might possibly be a Word file, or maybe even a graphic of some sort. Well, that search took 13 seconds, and it immediately excluded more than a million files. In the late 1980s, large disk drives were measured in tens of megabytes. Today, it's not uncommon to find digital images that are individually 30 to 50 megabytes, and video files larger than 1 terabyte aren't unusual. If you fail to limit the search to only files that are likely to contain the text you're looking for, those searches can take far too much time. Agent Ransack is the free version of Agent Ransack Pro, which sells for $70. And by the way, the names File Locator and Agent Ransack are interchangeable. The paid version can create a full index, which does consume disk space but greatly speeds searches. It also has some tools that'll be useful in business enterprises. The more time you spend fine-tuning your search, the faster the search will be. Agent Ransack can search a single directory, a directory and its subdirectories, multiple directories with or without specific subdirectories, and multiple directories on multiple drives. Include and exclude filters allow users to create precise search criteria. File names and contained text can include and exclude specific words, and standard wildcard characters are honored. For example, work*.doc? Would find all doc and docx files that begin with the word work. To search for all Word and Excel files, you'd specify *.xlsx *.docx. It's also possible to specify minimum and maximum file sizes and creation, modification, and access dates before or after specific dates or within a range of dates. I've had very good success searching for a range based on the modified or last access dates. That's because files sometimes pick up incorrect creation dates when they're moved from one computer to another. Even before the search ends, Agent Ransack will begin displaying files that meet the criteria you've specified. Selecting any file in the left panel displays text from the file in the right panel. Mythicsoft has provided an excellent help file so that anybody who's willing to read just a bit can start using it like a pro. And even the basic user interface, which is the simplified version, offers far more flexibility than what's built into the Windows search function. You'll find additional details on the Mythicsoft website, and you can download the free application from there. There's a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website, www.techbiter.com. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, being the victim of a SIM swap is unlikely, but it can be devastating if it happens. Fortunately, protecting your phone and yourself is relatively easy. The term SIM swap sounds like it involves gaining access to the physical SIM card in your phone. That's not the case. Few phones have specific SIM cards these days. The technology is now embedded in the phone and can't be removed. Crooks don't need to steal the SIM card. SIM swapping refers to the process by which crooks steal your phone number by telling your carrier to port the phone number to a phone they own. The crook calls your carrier, pretends to be you, and has enough information to convince the carrier you've lost your phone or that it's been destroyed and you need to move your number to a new phone. It's illegal, of course, but when has that ever stopped crooks? The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, also refers to this as a port-out scam. At one time, it was difficult for users to move from one carrier to another and keep the same phone number. But the FCC mandated number portability many years ago, and now mobile phone numbers can legally and easily be ported from one provider to another when you switch. and the mobile service provider can switch your phone number from one phone to another without changing providers. If you've ever updated your phone to a new model, you've already done that. A scammer who has enough personal information about somebody can attempt to con the victim's mobile phone company into believing the request has come from the authorized account holder. The phone number will be ported to a mobile device controlled by the scammer. What happens then? Well, the crook can respond to text messages sent to you, for example, confirmation requests from your bank. Many carriers provide a number lock feature, but it's often turned off by default. I use a Google Pixel phone on Google Fi, so that's the process I'll describe here. But I'm also providing links to instructions from some of the other big carriers, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. If you use yet another carrier, use a search engine and specify the name of the carrier along with the words number lock. Some providers allow users to make the change on their phone, while others, such as Google, use what I consider to be a more secure process that requires the change be made by logging on to the carrier's website. Google users sign on to their account page, select the primary account holder if there's more than one, scroll down to the phone settings section, then click Privacy and Security, scroll down to Number Lock, and click the Sign-In link. Once you've provided your credentials a second time, you can click the toggle to turn the number lock on. This change applies to all users on the account. And if you need to unlock the number later, just repeat the process and toggle the setting off. It takes only a few moments, and it can avoid a lot of trouble. Remember browsers before they had tabs? Having multiple websites open was so clumsy, and tabs were like magic. Now you can have tabs on the side instead of at the top, and one look was enough to convince me that that was my preferred method. After closing a few sites that I want to see first thing in the morning, my browser still has 22 open tabs. That seems like a lot, but I know there are some people who have 100. Sometimes more. With horizontal tabs, I would see, at most, the site's icon and one or two letters from its title. The improved readability makes finding a specific page easier because longer page titles are fully visible. There are numerous other advantages, such as providing a bit of additional vertical space. That's most useful on widescreen monitors where the browser has width to spare and where an extra line or two of vertical space can be helpful. Some designers say that moving tabs to the side reduces visual clutter and provides a cleaner and more streamlined browsing experience. I'm not sure I entirely buy that argument in favor of side tabs, but I can say it is what I prefer. Vivaldi is currently my default browser, in part because of its customization features that include the ability to put tabs at the top or bottom of the browser, or on either side. And that's just the start. Vivaldi is based on Chrome, as are most other browsers, with the exception of Firefox. For browsers that don't offer a vertical tabs option built in, there are extensions. One is called Vertical Tabs in Side Panel. It's for any Chrome-based browsers. Users don't receive the full range of options built into Vivaldi, but the most essential functionality is there, including the choice of placing the tabs on the left, or, if you prefer, on the right. For Firefox, choose Tree Style Tab or Vertical Tabs Reloaded. That second one is not currently being monitored for security by Mozilla. Tree Style Tabs is being monitored, and it's the one Mozilla recommends. Tree Style Tabs includes an extensive range of settings, far more than Vertical Tabs Reloaded, which is what I had used previously. If you're using Vivaldi or any other browser that has side tabs in its own settings, activate them to see what you think. Try it for a day or two, and then just return the settings to their default value if you don't like the option. It's a little more complicated for other Chrome-based browsers or Firefox, but installing an extension takes only a minute or two, and you can disable or uninstall the extension if you decide vertical tabs aren't for you. At first glance, I recognize the improvements that the vertical tab bar would make to the way I work with the browser. This might be how it works for you, or you might hate the idea. There's no right or wrong answer here. Just take care when you're downloading extensions. Be sure they're from the Chrome Web Store, Mozilla's add-on stores, or a trusted developer's site. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.